You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with my friend Bo Matthews and our producer today, Ethan Bright.
Good luck, buddy.
Sitting in for the great Carl Middleman, who is taking a little R&R down in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, but Ethan just came back from a vacation out of Arkansas. I thought he was doing a moonshine run.
But maybe.
You're the outdoors portion of the show, I guess.
Excellent.
Where did you go camping?
We went down to Beaver Lake, but we stayed in, it's in Garfield, Arkansas.
Is there hot springs in that area?
No.
I've always heard about going to hot springs.
It's about a half hour away from Eureka Springs.
Okay.
So maybe, you know.
So I saw some of your pictures.
Yep.
Your wife is good at posting them. You're not.
I don't.
And I just wanted to ask you. So you stated a really cool campsite. As a camper, I was looking at this. It's like a concrete poured pad in an L shape, right on a point. Like the camper's backed up to the end of the driveway with the tail end of it facing the lake. The truck's sitting in front of it. You got your awning out and a tent set up to the left. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the better sites down there. So, but we've been on that site before, and the only thing I've ever the lake was really up the one year we were there, and
yes.
I kind of started getting seasick. Because it was like you could see the water right out your window.
Oh, no.
So, like, when you would be eating, like, all of it's moving and stuff, it just kind of freaked me out.
It's like being on a cruise, but you're not.
Exactly.
Wow.
How big is the lake?
It's big. It's the first lake on the White River, which forms into Table Rock, Bull Shoals, Taneycomo, and there's one more on there.
Wow.
I always forget the other one.
That's legit.
But it's a decent-sized lake. The best part is there's no boats on it.
What?
Like, no one goes down there. If they do, they're on the other side of the lake. But where we stay down there, I bet that whole... We went down on Friday, came back Wednesday, and I probably saw maybe 30 boats.
So did you boat? Did somebody bring a boat?
My sister-in-law had a boat, and my father-in-law brought his fishing boat because he's a big fisherman. So, I mean, we went out once or twice, but we were just mostly just hanging out, swimming
nice.
Off the beach.
But isn't that odd, though, that there's no boats on it?
Yeah, it's a... I think it's a big sailing thing, but there was just nobody out there.
Huh.
There, I bet I saw more jet skis than I did boats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, we were back on another, you know, there's more to the lake that we just
weren't seeing. Yeah, you're like where Party Cove could be.
Correct.
But it's not.
Right. Something like that.
Boy, his mind always goes there, doesn't it?
Damn,
right.
Oh, memorable.
So Ethan and I were talking about this because we're both campers. And in fact, we're getting ready to take our camper on another little excursion here in a week or two. But Ethan, you were describing for me how the camping world has changed because you've been going to this place for years.
Yeah, at least. I mean, since I started dating my wife, we've been 14 good years.
A long time.
Yeah.
You used to be able to pick your campsite and not
Correct.
Have any problem getting it, but now it's just like the national parks, right? You got to plan in advance.
Yeah, exactly. What would happen was when we would go down there in the early days of our relationship, Her dad's already retired, so he would go down a week before, and this is probably not the best way to do it, but if you saw an empty site, you just threw a chair on it. Oh, that's my site.
Right,
we go
right.
up and pay for
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
he would wait for somebody to leave a site, pay for ours, that way when we have a site to get down there. But now everything's online, and people are booking stuff, and then the bad part is they'll book these sites and then just not show up.
So
and it drives me nuts.
So can you book like a specific site? Because
yeah.
I've heard, is it the state ones that you got to just take what you get? Is that right? The state run ones?
Well, no.
I think both of them are doing it.
Yeah, you can pick
Core and state.
Oh,
look at this site. Look at this picture of his campsite down there.
Wow.
Is that not beautiful?
Awesome.
Yeah.
There's actually another site that's next to that one that I like better, but of course somebody booked it.
Man, you got a great view. But no boats on it. That's so weird.
There's none. It's mostly fishermen. Like, you'll see a couple guys out fishing every once in a while, and it's a big striper lake, you know, so that's what they're fishing for.
But. So here's the bone I want to pick with you in this picture. Uh-oh. Why is your truck so clean? Because when I go camping, my truck is not clean. I've been on dirt roads and all that. It looks like I think he washed it and polished it just for this picture.
Well, if he's not boating or fishing, he's probably just sitting around going, well, I guess I'll wash my truck.
Could be it. I don't know.
I'll give you the real answer to that, Mark.
Okay, yes.
That truck is actually really dirty. You just can't see it.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, whatever.
You can talk to my wife. She tells me to wash that thing more than anybody else.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful scene for sure. Welcome back, my friend. We're glad you're with us, sitting in for Carl today. We appreciate that. Bo Matthews.
Yeah.
You and I went to shoot at the Eureka Chamber of Commerce trap shoot, right?
So glad you brought this up.
And we went down to shoot Sporting Clays. And Sporting Clays is one of the most frustrating sports that I participate in because I got decent at trap shooting. My son's really good at it. I got decent at it, but you always have an idea where the birds are going to go. They're going to go one of five directions, like straight out, a little to the left, a little to the right, you know, hard right or hard left.
Or coming at you.
You have an idea. No, with trap shooting. With sporting clays, they're coming every which way. They're bouncing like rabbits. I've seen them shoot out over a lake like a bird. You can get them coming out of a tree over your head. I mean, they're just, you never know how the course is going to be set
coming
up.
Straight at you also.
Yeah. So it's really, it's impossible to do it. Like if you're golfing and you golf at the same course all the time, you have a decent idea how far it is to the bunker, what you have to hit to get the ball, you know, over this tree to get closer to the green. Not that way with sporting clays.
No, definitely not.
And you killed it.
Okay. I still had to eat a burger on the way home because I wasn't eating bird that night. You know what? I did the best on the team, but not by much. Nowhere close to the record at the shooting range at St. Louis Trap and Skeet.
Oh my gosh, it's a 97 out of 100.
But you know, as we were going to the first spot to shoot, I was thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool if we broke that record? But we didn't.
I had no illusions of that.
By the way, I was the only one that brought bug juice, so you're welcome for that.
Yes, we needed that.
But it was a great time. Joe Duver from Vinyl Images. We had Mike Wurgis, Captain Mike Wurgis from Eureka Police Department. And Chuck Mayer, it was a blast. We had a good time.
Literally.
It was a blast.
And you're shooting with a shotgun that you haven't used all that much. And, you surprised me. You did really well at this. How long have you been trap shooting?
So I've been going for the first event I ever went to was this event, the Eureka Chamber shoot.
A year ago?
1 year ago.
Wow.
And I've been about six times, I think, total. And only twice with this shotgun. And I'm not a natural, but I enjoy it.
You're a little bit of a natural. You are.
A little tear in my eye.
Because that's a tough sport to pick up. And you either have the ability to track the bird and lead it a little bit, or you don't. And there's a natural talent. Like my son has a natural talent for it. To have only been doing this for a year and to do as well as you did, I think you've got a little bit of a natural talent.
Now, does your son stick with it? Does
I'm
he stay?
Start calling you Shooter.
Oh, really?
How about that? Is that all right?
I'm okay with
Shooter
that.
Matthews. I like
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, okay. Big fish. I'm in. Does your son keep up with the shotgun?
He does not. No, but he can still go out and pick it up cold and beat me on any given day. This doesn't matter. He's a natural at it. So this week, last weekend and again this week, some Supreme Court cases came down. Probably the biggest one for 2A supporters was the bump stock situation.
Right.
And the Supreme Court, on a 5-4 split decision, 5-6-3 decision, because the three liberals on the court all voted against it.
Of course.
Said the ATF cannot just suddenly change its mind. Administratively, you can ban bump stocks if Congress wants to ban bump stocks. But for 25 years, the ATF had no problem with bump stocks and just referred to it as an accessory. And suddenly there was a shooting somewhere and they suddenly decided it's not an accessory, it's a machine gun. You can't do that.
That's right.
It's pretty simple.
And really, it's not even necessary to have a bump stock to get the effect of the bump stock. Because at the shooting event the other day, I learned from Joe that you can do something with your belt loop, hang on to that, and sure. pull the. I don't even know what he was talking about.
Well, it's
leverage,
it's
right?
Recoil. When you fire the gun, it recoils.
Yes.
So if you've got your finger, your thumb, or something, you're shooting it from the hip, hooked in a belt loop. Every time it recoils, it causes you to pull the trigger again.
You
keep your finger on the trigger, and it would emulate an automatic weapon.
Yeah.
But it's not accurate. I don't know who would want to go through the trouble to do that. I've never wanted to own a bump stock. I've talked to people that have them, and they say they're a lot of fun. These people aren't criminals. Criminals don't go out and buy bump stocks. That's not what they're doing. And it's possible Congress might still ban these at some point.
Right.
But the ATF can't.
But most law-abiding citizens, law-abiding gun owners,
yes,
they understand the cost of ammo. So basically, you're doubling your expense when you go to the range or when you go out shooting at a friend's house or something like that. AR ammunition is like 50 cents a round. Okay, now you can go through it quicker. Maybe it's the ammo companies that are behind getting the bump stock released back into public. I don't know. I don't have a problem with anybody that has a digi trigger that can increase your shooting. A gun expert friend of mine said to me, can't you move your finger pretty fast? You don't need a bump stock. You just don't. So, I don't know. I'm a fan of improving your shooting. If a bump stock's your thing, well, you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
Out of that.
Well,
yeah.
It looks like the Supreme Court might also rule on this Chevron case. And it's been 40 years since they made this ruling, but it might affect other similar decisions made by administrative agencies, by the government.
Going down
like
the
it
road.
It might throw them out down the retroactively.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. We'll of course keep up with it here. Yeah. Of course. Hey, coming up, a couple great outdoor events for you coming up. And not the least of which is this day of fun for kids out at the Missouri Department of Conservation at the Bush Outdoor Education Center. That's going to be a lot of fun. And how about playing the 100 best golf courses in America?
Is that your dream?
That would be fantastic. I would be so overmatched, it wouldn't even be funny. But we're going to talk to a guy. He's written a book about it. He actually did it. And we'll get to all that coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Great Outdoors. Welcome back. Mark Cox here along with my friend Bo Matthews. Ethan Bright in today for the vacationing Carl Middleman, who should be back by next week. You know, Bo, I don't think that Carl is a golfer, but he is in one of the golf havens of the world, which is Florida. Some great golf courses down there.
He didn't even try it?
I don't think he's a golfer. If he's ever golfed, I don't know about it.
I'm a driving range guy. I love going to the driving range. But I have no patience for golf, unless you talk me into it. Which I'm guessing you're going to probably get me into it because you got me into skeet shooting and all kinds of stuff.
I saw somebody say the other day, when I was young, I practiced a lot and took a lot of lessons, and now I'm old.
And And that's it.
I'm no better now than I was.
Oh, come on.
It was years ago, I don't think. But we do have Jimmy James with us right now. We're joined right now by Jimmy James, who's the author of Playing from the Rough. And what a story you've got to tell here. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to talking about Playing from the Rough.
Yeah, no kidding. I play from the rough a lot, so I can identify. I didn't read the full title of the book, which is A Personal Journey Through America's 100 Greatest Golf Courses. You started off with, I think, one of the best, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to go around telling people that you got to play the 100 greatest golf courses in the country in a year,
yeah,
and you don't want them to look at you like you're crazy, you have to follow that with when they ask, well, how are you going to get on Augusta National? You get street credibility when you say, well, I played that first.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Now, tell people the backstory here, because you didn't, I mean, this hasn't been like a long time ago. You retired, then decided to take this on, right?
Yeah, I had spent a lot of time away from home with a very busy job, traveling all over the world. My kids were approaching, getting close to high school, and I wanted to be home more with them for high school. So I had the opportunity to retire early. But I knew I couldn't go from a globe-trotting exec moving at 100 miles an hour to an idle retirement. So I needed to take a year to transition. And initially for that year, I was going to travel to all 50 states, play two rounds of golf in each state, one with strangers at a public course and one with friends at some private course. But before I could do that, my wife gave me a book by John Sabino, where he talked about playing the 100 top courses in the world over his lifetime. So that gave me an idea. I said, well, and it was simply math. I'm going to play 100 courses, so why don't I just play the 100 best in the U.S.? And do it in that year I'm using to transition from career to retirement. It was simply math. I had no idea how crazy that idea was until I got into it.
I bet.
And
you know,
I was stuck.
It reminded me of people that actually go to all the baseball stadiums around the country. To check it off their bucket list. Did you, Jimmy, did you play a lot of golf during your career as an executive at ExxonMobil?
I did not. I started golf at 45, and I played some during my career.
Right.
Company events, events with friends, but I wasn't really that big of a golf enthusiast. Before I knew nothing about golf course architecture. I learned all this stuff as I started playing these amazing courses throughout the country. And the challenge, though, for me, another part of the backstory was about reconnecting with our country. I believe we were a country with kind and generous people who would get sucked into my dream if I just talked about it enough, around enough people. So my goal was to do this without ever asking directly for an invite to any of these clubs. And so that was a part of the challenge also, and that was a part of proving that premise that we are a country of kind and generous people, especially in the golf world.
Wow. So that gives me hope. So you're not – what's your handicap? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. My index now is about an 8. When I started this quest back several years ago, it was 11.5.
Wow.
I can guarantee you that when people were asking other people to host me, no one said, hey, you need to play with this guy. He's a great golfer. You'll be just blown away by his golf. I didn't hear the conversations, but I can guarantee you no one said that.
That's so funny. But, in playing the 100 greatest golf courses, and I'd like you to name a few of them as we go along here, even if you're an 11 handicap, I'm probably an 18, I'm guessing. you're playing on courses that are designed to challenge the very best golfers. What was that like?
It was hard. So you take courses like Pine Valley. Most golf courses, when you're playing them, there will be one hole where you feel you can relax and you say to yourself, I got this.
Yeah.
At Pine Valley, there isn't a single shot on a hole where you can sit back and say, I got this. Every shot has to be on. And it's hard. But Pikewood National, a club I later joined, that's in West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia. It's ranked number 30th now in the country. If anybody knows what ratings are on golf courses, the maximum rating, and this is how hard the golf course is, the maximum slope is a 155. It's a 155. The rating, which is what a scratch golfer should sit on the course, basically, is 72. The rating is 79.7.
Wow.
So, yeah, these courses were hard. Shinnecock, Oakmont. Shinnecock with the windswept fairways and greens and that tall fescue. Oakmont, the church pew bunkers. Get into those. Pack a lunch. Those things are, the rows in there, they look flat on television, but they're 4 feet high and topped off with scraggly rough.
Well, Jimmy, I've got a question. As people learned your story and what your goal was on this bucket list of to play the 100 greatest golf courses, did you get to play with any celebrities along the way, any big names that people would know? Because I guarantee you people right now that love golf, like Mark over here, they would love to do 100 golf courses in a year's time and going, I don't have the frequent flyer miles that Jimmy James has, but the celebrity question, any celebrities that you played with?
I guess you could consider some of them celebrities, like Pat Hayden, former quarterback, Rhodes Scholar, won the Super Bowl with the Rams.
Yeah.
USC. He hosted me at a few clubs. LACC, Cypress Point, helped me with the Valley Club of Montecito. I played Double Eagle outside of Columbus, Ohio, with Gene Smith, the Ohio State University athletic director. I played Shinnecock with Jimmy Dunn, which everyone knows from 9/11 and his response to that, and then his involvement with golf. And as of late, with the LIV negotiations,
okay.
I played with Danny Yates, who won the U.S. Mid-Am and was runner-up for the U.S. Amateur, played in three Masters.
Well, I mean, that's an impressive list. I'm guessing now, because I got to be honest, if I'm playing a course where the round costs $160, $200, I almost feel guilty. Because I'm probably not earning my keep on a course like that. So some of these courses are so exclusive, maybe not all as exclusive as Augusta, that you had to have some connection to get on there, right?
87 of them.
87 of the 100. Yeah.
Yeah. 87 of the 100 courses are private courses. So that was the challenge. I mean, you can't just roll up to these courses and play. 12 of them are resort courses. If you have enough money, you know, like basically $600 plus the caddy fee and tip and all, about $750 at Pebble Beach. But, yeah, the courses were private courses where you had to be invited. 87, you had to be invited to play. Someone had to host you or set up the round for you.
Wow.
Well, I'm about ready to go on an excursion here in about a week, and when I was talking to my buddy that suggested it, he said, well, I'm going no matter what. But if you want to go, you can go. So my question for you is, in this journey that you have been on, who was your mainstay? Did your wife golf? Does she go with you?
No. So, again, this is a logistical challenge. These courses, first, as I said, 87 of them, you have to be invited or set up by a member. A lot of the courses, the members are not, don't even live near the course. So you have to be there when they're there. The courses aren't open year-round. They're tournaments. So trying to coordinate this for one individual a logistical challenge. Trying to add someone else into it makes it even more impossible.
Yeah.
So I played a part of, again, my premise. I told you I wanted to get to reconnect with the country. 75% of the people who helped me, I did not know when I started.
Wow. Well, I mean, what great connections, if nothing else there, right? I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, to me, it speaks to just the kindness and generosity of people if they're sucked into a dream. If you can sell your idea, people are so willing to help.
Yeah.
You know, so it's as much their story as it is my story.
Jimmy James, our guest, and he's the author of Playing from the Rough, A Personal Journey Through America's 100 Greatest Golf Courses. I'm going to bring this up because you put it in your bio here, that you grew up poor and black in Texas. What role did that play in your experience as you were going through this?
So my birth certificate actually says colored.
Okay.
Which denoted second-class citizen at the time.
Wow.
I grew up in abject poverty in the deepest woods of East Texas. And my earliest years were in a shack, a tin-roof shack, with no plumbing or electricity. So my beginning are quite different than the world that I found myself in on all of these fancy courses. And the way I describe it in the book and Playing from the Rough is I was born into a world that lacked almost everything, literally, to find myself standing in a world that lacked almost nothing. And that gap, it's really hard to fathom, and trying to describe that contrast in the book of that life, the life I was born into, where I, as a kid, we ripped pages out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, crumbled them together, and used them as toilet paper right. In our maggot-infested outhouse.
Wow.
Wow.
So only in America could I go from that challenging humble beginning, to standing on the first tee, standing over a ball on the first tee at Augusta National Golf Club, the most exclusive golf club in the country.
Well, Jimmy, I've got two questions. Did you write the book as you went through this journey, and what is going to be your next challenge since this book is out for everybody to enjoy?
So I did a blog while I did the journey,
okay.
The challenge when I was on the quest, and that blog became my notes and the basis for the book. And I wrote the book. I'll just say quickly, I wrote the book for three reasons. I thought I have this really great story to tell. And number one, I wanted to honor my mother, who instilled in her eight kids, who were all born out of wedlock, all grew up in poverty, instilled in us integrity and the value of hard work.
That's right.
Not a single one of us has spent a day in poverty as an adult.
Wow.
That's not coincidence. That's a strong mother. I wrote it to honor her. I wrote it so that our kids would know who we were, where we came from, and what we stood for. And I wrote it also for our country because I hope, it's my hope, that every reader, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, their religion, regardless of who they are and where they come from, will find a piece of themselves in these stories, in my stories, and connect to me.
Absolutely.
And if they can connect to me, who could have such a different background from them, then maybe they'll think about connecting to others. And when we find our common humanity, there's no safe harbor for hate.
Amen to
that. So that's playing from the rough.
I'm sure your mother is proud. Is there an audiobook version of this book?
There is an audiobook version, and you have to listen to my voice for about 10 hours.
Jimmy James, thank you for giving us some time today.
Thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Playing from the Rough, A Personal Journey Through America's 100 Greatest Golf Courses. You can pick it up wherever you buy your books. So good. Good to get him on here then. Hey, coming up, the great outdoors portion of this continues. Go from the golf course to outdoor education, recreation, fishing, shooting. I love that.
You want to get your kids off a tablet or a computer? Follow this next conversation. You're going to love it.
We got just the answer for you coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with my buddy Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews, and we have another opportunity for you to get out, because I know you're, you know, going stir crazy with the kids. You want to get them out to something that's fun, and it's free. It's going to be great. But before we get to that, let me tell you, this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you've been wanting to suppress a firearm, you want to accessorize a firearm, head to RazorbackArmory.com, find their address, learn about the store, but then go into the store on Manchester Road, just east of 270. It is Razorback Armory. Tell them Bo sent you. All right. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, the Outdoor Education Center manager, Bryant Hurdle. Bryant, how are you, buddy? Welcome.
Welcome. Appreciate that, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a big day coming up here on Tuesday. We've got information that was sent over, and we wanted to get this out because this is going to happen really quick, so even last-minuteers can get involved with your big day of fun for kids, right?
Absolutely. So it's a fun day for kids event. It's an open house style, and for families too, not just the kids, but we're focusing on the kids. We've got a lot of events that'll be happening that day. It's a free event. There's no registration required. So there'll be archery, atlatl. If anybody's not familiar with atlatl, it's the oldest form of hunting there is. It predates the bow and arrow. There'll be disc golf. There'll be, if you want to try your hand in shooting, there's 22 rifles or shotguns. There's going to be nature exhibits. We're even going to have an agent there. Nick Bomarito is going to bring his dog, Birdie, and you can meet and greet Birdie, and he's going to do some demonstrations with her.
Yeah. And, Brian, all this is happening at the Bush Outdoor Education Center, which is down there off of Route D near Defiance, right?
It is. The address is 3550 Highway D, and the event's going to be from 3 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 25th.
And yeah. What's your experience with these? I mean, you know, so I'm thinking of my son for a minute. We had him in Boy Scouts and all that stuff, and he went to a scout camp one time, and he got to pick up a shotgun, not for the first time, but he got to shoot trap for the first time, and he hit all five of the targets. And the guy said, maybe you should look into trap shooting. And the next thing you know, he was on the Jay Hinges trap shooting team. Sometimes kids discover things at events like this, and you just never know, right?
That is absolute fact. That is kind of what we're looking to do, too, get the kids just to try different things. There'll be a fishing game as well. Some of it, there'll be a BB gun trailer there for the younger kids. We kind of noticed some of the older ones do better with the shotguns and the 22 rifles, but the smaller ones, the BB guns, work great for them. And it also, we also do a lot of programs here that are free, so if they want to learn more about things, we have archery programs, we have atlatl, we have shooting programs. So we want the kids to be able to try multiple things in one day.
Now, you did say it's a family event, although it's a fun day for kids. Will the parents get involved with some of these activities that are going on while they're out there, or do they have to just sit and bake in the sun?
Oh, no. If they want to get involved, too, they are more than welcome to. You know, we focused on the kids, but it's for everybody. We just want everybody to come out and have fun and try out different things that they may not know how to get involved in or may want to try that they've never thought about trying.
Well, and so many parents are, you know, watching other people's kids. What kind of, you know, waivers or any kind of paperwork that they need to be worried about leading up to this? Because, I mean, you know, there's some things that are, you know, can be dangerous. So is there any kind of criteria, or can one person bring, you know, seven kids from their neighborhood to come out and do this thing?
So the good thing about this is there's no waivers to sign. One person could bring the neighbor kids, however many they want. We have plenty of help and volunteers. We really appreciate the volunteers that help us with these things, because with our staff, we just couldn't do it all ourselves. So everybody, there'll be a little safety briefing before they go down to the shooting events. And then once they get to them, there'll be another quick safety just to reiterate the fact of safety. And then each one will have probably a mentor to watch over them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic. Are the kids going to have the opportunity? Are they fishing in one of the ponds? Do you have something set up separately? Because you got so many ponds out there in Bush.
We do. This is at the range, so this is a fishing game, so they'll be able to just kind of try their hand at fishing, and it's not really fishing. They'll be it's a game, more or less. So, but it'll introduce them, and they can have fun with this game.
I think it's great. I think, you know, the Missouri Department of Conservation just does a phenomenal job on so many levels. And, Brian, we appreciate the information. Looking, of course, it's summertime officially now. And looking at the weather, I'm sure you've been watching it carefully, too. It's supposed to be like 98 that day. And I understand.
It is going to be hot.
How are you going to cool these kids down?
Well, we're actually going to have somebody's bringing in a snow cone machine, so we're going to have the snow cones, which I think the kids will just have a blast with. And then no charge for the snow cones, so it's the whole event is free.
Great.
We'll also have a bunch of exhibits here, too, that's coming from Jeff City. There'll be a deer exhibit, turtle exhibit. There's 18 different exhibits they're going to get to look at, too, which are kind of learning tools for again, part of conservation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think the other thing about it is you're probably bringing people and eyes to what bush wildlife has to offer out there that people may not be aware of. I mean, I think, honestly, thinking back on it, having lived here 31 years now, I think my first ever experience might have been getting invited to a kid's birthday party out there and realizing how many lakes there were and all the stuff that's available to people.
Right. Well, and not just bush wildlife, just the whole conservation department, because we have a sister range. You mentioned your son shot for Jay Hinge's shooting range. They're our sister range off of Antire.
Yeah.
And then there's a nature center in Kirkwood, Powder Valley, and then the regional office is here off of Highway D as well. So a lot of opportunities. We all do different programs, too, as well, that don't cost anything to sit in programs and programs from little kids all the way up to adults. We also do hunting programs, and we have managed hunts here too. For if you want to learn how to hunt, there's different opportunities for that as well.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for the kids! Because heck, I think I was in my 30s when I had my first chance to do archery. I think I was 41 when I first played disc golf, which I was terrible. But you know what? If you're starting to, if you're getting these experiences when you're little, you know, like 5 years old, 10 years old, and up, that could change a trajectory. Just like Mark's son, come to find out, he was a natural. You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. Just to see these kids, I'd love to see their expressions. The first time they hit a bullseye, the first time they hit a clay bird, they're just, you know, like you said, they may find something they really enjoy that they never would have thought about. So hopefully this event will introduce them to a few different things.
100%. Mark is he's an enabler so much. He got me into trap and skeet, and it's all his fault, but I'm thankful.
Yeah. And guess what? He's good at it, too. He didn't even realize it, I don't think, Bryant. But I took him to the trap. I took him sporting clay shooting the other day, and he shocked us all.
Yeah, shocked me too.
Wow, that is awesome. That is great. Well, and we are a public range as well too. So for $5, you can come shoot around a trap, around a skeet. We do five stands on Thursdays and Fridays. We've got a rifle pistol range that goes out to 100 yards. So we don't supply anything, but our programs are based on teaching people, introducing them to shooting sports and hunting.
Well, I tell you what, Bryant Hertel with the Missouri Department of Conservation Outdoor Education Center, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. We remind people that's coming up Tuesday, just so you know, the June 25th, 3 to 7 p.m. You can come anytime during then and take advantage of the fun day for kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
You bet.
And real quick, where can we send people to get more information if they're just hearing about it and they go, I want to do that?
Yeah, so you can get more information at mdc.mo.gov and then search events under Bush Shooting Range.
All right. Stay cool, buddy. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate that, Brian.
You know, you got to be fierce. I mean, like, you're golfing this past week when it's 100 and whatever. It's brutal out there. So
you got to be tough, man. You got to be Midwest tough. This is nothing. It's been this hot for years. I have not noticed any difference.
Dude, I was splitting firewood last week. I'm in this heat. Yes. I mean, I got to be a big old barrel fan, but even my wife at dinner the other night, she put her arm next to me and she goes, "You got a better tan than I do." I was like, "Yeah."
Spend a lot of time outside.
I'm working.
And here's the thing about it. At your estate out there, the Matthews estate,
my estate,
it's heavily wooded and there are no neighbors around, so he doesn't have any tan lines. I'm just telling you.
Too much information.
Oh, TMI there.
Yeah, I got splinters though. Anyway.
Splinters in places we cannot talk about. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Stay cool. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with my buddy Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews, and we have another opportunity for you to get out, because I know you're, you know, going stir crazy with the kids. You want to get them out to something that's fun, and it's free. It's going to be great. But before we get to that, let me tell you, this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you've been wanting to suppress a firearm, you want to accessorize a firearm, head to RazorbackArmory.com, find their address, learn about the store, but then go into the store on Manchester Road, just east of 270. It is Razorback Armory. Tell them Bo sent you. All right, welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, the Outdoor Education Center manager, Bryant Hurdle. Bryant, how are you, buddy? Welcome.
Welcome. Appreciate that, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a big day coming up here on Tuesday. We've got information that was sent over, and we wanted to get this out because this is going to happen really quick, so even last-minuteers can get involved with your big day of fun for kids, right?
Absolutely. So it's a fun day for kids event. It's an open house style, and it's for families too, not just the kids, but we're focusing on the kids. We've got a lot of events that'll be happening that day. It's a free event. There's no registration required. So there'll be archery, atlatl. If anybody's not familiar with atlatl, it's the oldest form of hunting there is. It predates the bow and arrow. There'll be disc golf. There'll be, if you want to try your hand at shooting, there's 22 rifles or shotguns. There's going to be nature exhibits. We're even going to have an agent there. Nick Bomarito is going to bring his dog Birdie, and you can meet and greet Birdie, and he's going to do some demonstrations with her.
Yeah. And Bryant, all this is happening at the Bush Outdoor Education Center, which is down there off of Route D near Defiance, right?
It is. It's, address is 3550 Highway D, and the event's going to be from 3 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 25th.
And yeah. What's your experience with these? I mean, you know, so I'm thinking of my son for a minute. We had him in Boy Scouts and all that stuff, and he went to a scout camp one time, and he got to pick up a shotgun, not for the first time, but he got to shoot trap for the first time, and he hit all five of the targets. And the guy said, maybe you should look into trap shooting. And the next thing you know, he was on the Jay Hinges trap shooting team. Sometimes kids discover things at events like this, and you just never know, right?
That is absolute fact. That is kind of what we're looking to do, to get the kids just to try different things. There'll be a fishing game as well. Some of it, there'll be a BB gun trailer there for the younger kids. We kind of noticed some of the older ones do better with the shotguns and the 22 rifles, but the smaller ones, the BB guns, work great for them. And it also, we also do a lot of programs here that are free, so if they want to learn more about things. We have archery programs. We have atlatl. We have shooting programs. So we want the kids to be able to try multiple things in one day.
Now, you did say it's a family event, although it's a fun day for kids. Will the parents get involved with some of these activities that are going on while they're out there, or do they have to just sit and bake in the sun?
Oh, no. If they want to get involved, too, they are more than welcome to. We focused on the kids, but it's for everybody. We just want everybody to come out and have fun and try out different things that they may not know how to get involved in or may want to try that they've never thought about trying.
Well, and so many parents are, you know, watching other people's kids. What kind of, waivers or any kind of paperwork that they need to be worried about leading up to this? Because, I mean, you know, there's some things that are, you know, can be dangerous. So is there any kind of criteria, or can one person bring, you know, seven kids from their neighborhood to come out and do this thing?
So the good thing about this is there's no waivers to sign. One person could bring the neighbor kids, however many they want. We have plenty of help and volunteers. We really appreciate the volunteers that help us with these things, because with our staff, we just couldn't do it all ourselves. So everybody, there'll be a little safety briefing before they go down to the shooting events. And then once they get to them, there'll be another quick safety, just to reiterate the fact of safety. And then each one will have probably a mentor to watch over them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic. Are the kids going to have the opportunity? Are they fishing in one of the ponds? Do you have something set up separately? Because you got so many ponds out there in the bush.
We do. This is at the range, so this is a fishing game. So they'll be able to just kind of try their hand at fishing, and it's not really fishing. They'll be it's a game, more or less. So, but it'll introduce them, and they can have fun with this game.
I think it's great. I think, you know, the Missouri Department of Conservation just does a phenomenal job on so many levels. And, Brian, we appreciate the information. Looking, of course, it's summertime officially now. And looking at the weather, I'm sure you've been watching it carefully, too. It's supposed to be like 98 that day. And I understand.
It is going to be hot.
How are you going to cool these kids down?
Well, we're actually going to have somebody's bringing in a snow cone machine, so we're going to have the snow cones, which I think the kids will just have a blast with. And then no charge for the snow cones, so it's the whole event is free.
Great.
We'll also have a bunch of exhibits here, too, that's coming from Jeff City. There'll be a deer exhibit, turtle exhibit. There's 18 different exhibits they're going to get to look at, too, which are kind of learning tools for again, part of conservation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think the other thing about it is you're probably bringing people and eyes to what bush wildlife has to offer out there that people may not be aware of. I mean, I think, honestly, thinking back on it, having lived here 31 years now, my first ever experience might have been getting invited to a kid's birthday party out there and realizing how many lakes there were and all the stuff that's available to people.
Right. Well, and not just bush wildlife, just the whole conservation department, because we have a sister range. You mentioned your son shot for Jay Hinge's shooting range. They're our sister range off of Entire.
Yeah.
And then there's a nature center in Kirkwood, Powder Valley, and then the regional office is here off of Highway D as well. So a lot of opportunities. We all do different programs, too, as well, that don't cost anything to sit in programs and programs from little kids all the way up to adults. We also do hunting programs, and we have managed hunts here too. For if you want to learn how to hunt, there's different opportunities for that as well.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for the kids! Because heck, I think I was in my 30s when I had my first chance to do archery. I think I was 41 when I first played disc golf, which I was terrible. But you know what? If you're starting to, if you're getting these experiences when you're little, you know, like 5 years old, 10 years old, and up, that could change a trajectory. Just like Mark's son, come to find out,
he was
a natural. You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. And just to see these kids, I'd love to see their expression the first time they hit a bullseye, the first time they hit a clay bird. They're just you know, like you said, they may find something they really enjoy that they never would have thought about. So hopefully this event will introduce them to a few different things.
100%. Mark is he's an enabler so much. He got me into trap and skeet, and it's all his fault, but I'm thankful.
Yeah. And guess what? He's good at it, too. He didn't even realize it, I don't think, Brian. But I took him to the trap. I took him sporting clay shooting the other day, and he shocked us all.
Yeah, shocked me too.
Wow, that is awesome. That is great. Well, and we are a public range as well too. So for $5, you can come shoot around a trap, around a skeet. We do 5 stands on Thursdays and Fridays. We've got a rifle pistol range that goes out to 100 yards. So we don't supply anything, and our programs are based on teaching people, introducing them to shooting sports and hunting.
Well, I tell you what, Bryant Hertel with the Missouri Department of Conservation Outdoor Education Center, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. We remind people that's coming up Tuesday, just so you know, the June 25th, 3 to 7 p.m. You can come anytime during then and take advantage of the fun day for kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
You bet.
And real quick, where can we send people to get more information if they're just hearing about it and they go, I want to do that?
Yeah, so you can get more information at mdc.mo.gov and then search events under Bush Shooting Range.
All right. Stay cool, buddy. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate that, Brian.
You know, you got to be fierce. I mean, like, you're golfing this past week when it's 100 and whatever. It's brutal out there. So
you got to be tough, man. You got to be Midwest tough. This is nothing. It's been this hot for years. I have not noticed any difference.
Dude, I was splitting firewood last week. I'm in this heat. Yes. I mean, I got to be a big old barrel fan, but even my wife at dinner the other night, she put her arm next to me and she goes, you got a better tan than I do. I was like, yeah.
Spend a lot of time outside.
I'm working.
And here's the thing about it. At your estate out there, the Matthews estate.
My estate.
It's heavily wooded and there are no neighbors around, so he doesn't have any tan lines. I'm just telling you.
Too much information.
Oh, TMI there.
Yeah, I got splinters though. Anyway.
Splinters in places we cannot talk about. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Stay cool. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app